your microphone. Ready? I'd like to call to order the Wednesday, June 20th, 2018 meeting of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Nichols?
Here.
Director Hill?
Here.
Chair Austin?
Here. Will you all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Brings us to agenda review. Is there anything anybody wants to change on the agenda?
No.
You okay? Okay, so the agenda will stand as it is presented. That brings us to public comment for items not appearing on the agenda. Is there anyone that has public comment?
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I would like to ask your board once again to rescind the censure of Mayor Jim Hill. I'd like you to pursue a censure of Mayor Scholes and correct the record of Mary Lucy's misstatements. I'd also like you to consider going to closed session and discussing a civil lawsuit against Joan Wallace. I'd like your board to follow the Brown Act. At your last meeting, your board was given a letter from me speaking to you about the added item of May 16th. That added item was considered urgent by your board because the contract with Mr. Karp and Mr. Sweet was near expiration, which it really wasn't that close. This was May 16th. The contract expired on May 27th, but for some reason you couldn't call a special meeting to allow the public to participate in that item, which I believe violated the Brown Act. What further underscores this violation is that I requested a copy of the amended contract that you acted on in that so-called urgent item, and it wasn't fully executed until the 7th of June, well after the contract had expired. So if it was all urgent and everybody had to hurry up and do it without the public and then not get the final signature for 10 or 11 more days, then I think it's clear you have no regard for the public and that you completely have no regard for the public contracts and the rules associated with them. Those gentlemen worked for 11 days without a contract. Just because you said you were approving an amendment, if Ms. Austin didn't get down there and sign that contract by May 27th, the contract's invalid. The amendment's invalid. I know you'll pay them anyway, but it's wrong. And it's wrong. It started wrong on May 16th, and it just stayed wrong and got more wrong all the way till June the 7th.
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. I wanted to make the point that most of those things that were just discussed, censuring Hill and restating what Mary Lucy said and suing Wallace, those issues are over with. We don't need to go back to those. Where is the money in the budget to start a lawsuit? And if there were concerns about conflict of interest with Mr. Wallace, then those should have been brought up at the time that the project was approved. If the board approved the projects, you can't have a do-over and say, well, you know, he was wrong, he had a conflict. No, at the time they passed was the time to bring it forward. It's too late now. And as far as Mary Lucy and John Scholes, et cetera, that's just score settling. That does not benefit the board. That doesn't move the board, the process of moving the business of the district ahead. That's just going backwards over and over. We need to start with just the current issues and move forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Ron Arleson. I agree with one of the speakers that we need to go back and try to do a civil suit against John Wallace. Disagree with the last speaker, the fact that the board approved it. This board approves a lot of things that they don't even look at also. I don't think they even understand what they're approving sometimes, and we'll discuss that when the warrants come up. So because the board approved it doesn't mean it was right. He pled no contest in court, which means he was guilty of conflicts of interest. Somewhere between $6 and $7 million went through his hands in that period of time. It is your responsibility to go back and try and get some of that money back from him, not the 16 or whatever, 15, 12, 13 million, $1,000 that you got from him. It's kind of ridiculous. His E&O will cover it. It won't come out of his pocket. The fact that you are standing up for this community and the ratepayers is what really matters, and you should stand up for those ratepayers, and you should go back and make Mr. Wallace pay for the mistakes he made. And the board made mistakes, too, not just Mr. Wallace. They were just as guilty as he was, and so was the district representative from the attorney. He should have kept everyone out of trouble. He's as guilty as anyone. Should have kept Mr. Wallace out of trouble. Mr. Wallace shouldn't have been in that position, and should have kept the board from making those mistakes.
Is there any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll come back, and next item is the consent agenda. So I know, we have an amendment to the warrants, a revised warrant register. Everybody got theirs? Did you get yours?
Yes.
Okay. And so is there anything anybody want to take off of the consent agenda?
Just the warrants.
The warrants, okay. So set the warrants aside. And then approval of the meeting minutes of May 16th, June 6th, and June 14th. Is there any discussion on those? Okay, I'll open public comment for the minutes of May 16th, June 6th, and June 14th. Is there any public comment on the minutes? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the 5B, C, and D.
Move to approve the minutes items 5B, 5C, and 5D.
Second.
Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And okay, so we'll go back to the warrants now.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've not had a chance to look at the, for example, legal billing, which again strikes me as quite high in this item, and I also haven't looked at the technical consultants billing for the last month, but my understanding was that they would work considerably less than 40 hours a week, and while the amount shown reflects less than 40 hours, it's a bit less, and it's not considerably less. So I'd just like to review those billings.
Do you want to have... Were you going to bring something up, Mr. Karp?
I was just going to break those up so we
can look at them. Okay. Okay.
Be able to move on and...
You want to move on while he does that? Okay.
Look at those.
Sure.
Go.
Were those the only questions you had on the...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then maybe we should... Should we just go ahead and do public comment then on the warrants? I think we'll go ahead and do public comment on the warrants.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I have the same concerns. First, over legal counsel, Gil Trujillo. He's got 2 months here, April and May, for $10,637.50, not knowing how that's broken out. In April, your board violated the Brown Act, and Mr. Trujillo had best not charge you for guiding you into it and then having to get you out of it. What a great job it must be to get your organization in trouble and then get paid to get them back out of trouble. So I think he should strike all charges associated with the meeting in San Luis Obispo and then the subsequent research that he had to do on the Brown Act violation that was signed by 8 people. I didn't see him at any meetings in May, so whatever work he did in May, I hope the invoice does not include board meetings. So it's hard to tell what he did in May. But the total, over $10,000, is concerning. With regard to Mr. Karp and Mr. Sweet's invoices, they are for the period in which the contract expired. Contract expired on May 27th. Mr. Sweet and Mr. Karp each signed the contract amendment on the 21st and 22nd, but your legal counsel did not sign that amendment until the 6th of June, and your board president didn't sign, or chair, whatever you're called, didn't sign it until the 7th of June. So again, as I mentioned in public comment, there's 11 days where the contract was not valid, and these gentlemen are asking for payment for during that time. I don't know who's responsible, but if Mr. Sweet and Mr. Karp didn't see to it that the amendment was signed, that's on them. That's their contract. They should be the ones shepherding it through the process to make sure it's fully executed in a timely fashion. And ironically, it's their contract that they're needing to be paid for. So I just find it the work is shoddy, and this is just one more example of that.
Any other public comment?
Kind of agree with the last speaker on some of these issues. The fact that you're paying $10,000 in one warrant, $11,000 and $17,000 in another, I think that this board should have an agenda item that brings forward the fact that whenever an item is, you need to have, I believe there, you should have some kind of a policy that these types of items that are that expensive need to have the full billing along with a warrant. Because you're just going to rubber stamp it. You don't know what the hell's going on. There's some redundancy things going on there, too. They may be upright and legal, but you have the responsibility and you have to know what's going on. You need to know what's happening during that redundancy, what's happening, what the contractor's doing, what they're billing you for. Every contractor you have that responsibility. I was in private practice. I made my attorney, my accountant, give me an itemized bill. The first time he gave me one that wasn't itemized, I said, I'm not paying this until I get an itemized bill. Should be the same situation with your warrants. And if that's not policy, you ought to make it policy. Because you just sit there and sign them. You don't know what the hell's going on. There's no questions. There's no accountability. You need to prove to us that you're watching our money.
Is there any other public comment? We'll close public comment.
I've not finished looking.
Oh, okay. This. Okay, well, Mr. Hill's still reviewing those. Do you have anything to comment on? Anything? Barbara?
No, I don't have any comments. Other than to say, insofar as never asking questions, I think probably we get that done before the meeting. If we have something that we're concerned about on the warrants or any other issue, I call and ask, what is this about?
I'd like to follow up on what Barbara just said. I thought it was pretty presumptuous of the last speaker to think that we don't follow what's going on. I talk, you know, my office is right by the plant, and I am very well aware of what's going on over there, and I talk to Mr. Sweet and Mr. Carp almost every other day. I have all my notes here. I questioned all these warrants beforehand, so I think just because we don't sit up here and I don't know what you want us to do, but we are paying attention and we are doing our job. Should we call a break or something?
You could do that, or you could move ahead. Come back to this.
Okay. Why don't we do that then? We'll move ahead and let Mr. Hill keep checking out the invoices. So we'll go on to the action item, item 6A, the technical consultants and plant operators report. So, Mr. Sweet, do you have... I'm sorry, Mr. Carp.
It's okay.
I got used to Rick being here.
Yes.
Here we go.
Okay, you have before you the report of both the technical consultants and of the plant operations. And the issues that have come up in the last period of time is we have received the 30% plans and specifications for the redundancy project. And we have reviewed those. In fact, we met with the consultant yesterday after our review, and he brought with him his mechanicals, his civil engineer, his electrical engineer. And we went over those plans with the interim superintendent, the field operations the man who's operating the plant as a helper, and as our longtime person, Rick Jackman. So we went through the entire package yesterday, and we're excited about that project. The overall financing amount came in the same as what was reported to the board back in November. We're looking at $22.8 million as the minimum recommended financing. All of that material has been sent to Bartle Wells, and we have set up through Amy and the people at Kennedy Jenks a communications platform, and what it is email and scanning of the ongoing design issues that are brought up for every milestone here, from here on out till we get to biddable documents. And there is a communication going on between Bartlewells and Kennedy Jenks. And, of course, we've got Mike Nunley working with us on the financing environmental. So we're pursuing that financing, and we expect that that will continue on after we're gone. The we have sent the manual to Amy, who will be working closely with the author of our PPM to bring that document back to you with a resolution making the changes and asking the questions that you had during the review of that process over the past few months. We should be bringing that to you in the not-too-distant future. There may be a review required with the union prior to that occurring. We have set up, or Amy is setting up, I think it's all done now, isn't it, Amy, with regard to the county auditor? You have some certain forms that you have to set up so that we can file our budget that was approved last time, and I think we're all set to go on the new fiscal year. Also, Amy has begun work with Burdett for the next audit of, that would be 16-17?
Correct.
Okay. The district administrator, as you all know, has been employed. He's scheduled to come on board on 2 July, and we are in the final stages of appointment of a lab technician for our replacement of our lab tech who moved on to a different agency recently. During the operations report, I was at the plant last week, and we got 4 or 5 alarms within 2 or 3 minutes of when the last operator left the plant. And Amy and I were sitting there. Amy was kicking off the acknowledge on the alarms, and we called back in the operator. And I went ahead on the tour of the plant with the operator when he came back, and all of the plant operations were consistent with correct operations. And when we brought in the people who maintain the circuitry for the telemetry there, it was determined that a circuit board had malfunctioned, and that has since been replaced, but it resulted in some callbacks. We also had a 60-year-old high-pressure pipe break one of the evenings last week, and that ended up filling up the excavation for the valve replacements, and the men were called out for that broken pipe, and that has been remedied also. That concludes my report. I stand here ready for any questions, and I'll try and answer those. If I can't, I'll get answers to you.
I have a... I saw, you know, we had the payment on the digester repair.
Yes.
So
the one on the warrant?
On the warrant.
That we added this last...
No. The primary digester rehabilitation.
Oh, okay.
We made a big payment. So I just wanted to know...
What we've had to do is go in, sandblast, repair the concrete, repair any other issues, and then we have brought all that to level with a slurry-type fixture. And we're about ready to begin the actual lining of the vessel.
That's what I was... So is it all, that the work is just about done then?
The digester work is primarily done. We have some piping that we have found that is needing some repair, and we're still working on those valve replacements.
Okay.
But we're getting dangerously close.
So we're getting close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right. Do you have any questions on the report?
Just about the reclaimed water line break. Was that... What was the failure mode there? Is that
it's about a or? It's about a looked to me about 2-2.5 inch pipe, and it's pressurized, and we use that for our source for our washdown water throughout the plant, and it's effluent water basically. And you know, when sludge ends up on the deck or something, we'll be able to hose that down and clean up afterwards. That pipe has been in place now since the original plant, and it appears to me that it was at near the end of its life as far as that joint was concerned, and it broke.
So it was a break at a joint rather than a corrosion? Or
it didn't appear to be any corrosion.
Okay, thank you.
In fact, I think that portion was plastic.
Okay.
I stand corrected if Michael is watching this show and comes back. And no, that was stainless steel, Paul. Okay. But I understand it was a mechanical break.
Okay, thank you.
Did you have any questions for Mr. Karp?
No, I don't.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Karp. And we will receive and file that report. Oh, I'm sorry, public comment.
Thank you. Again, I'm Julie Tacker. One of the items that has been historically on these reports has been status of the brine, and now it's been moved to an upcoming agenda item. My concern is was pointed out by Brad Snook, I think in February, about the standard operating procedures. I'm curious where we are with that. I understood that Mr. Jones was calling other plants. How many plants? What did he get? You know, apparently with an agenda item in the future, that means there's something coming forward, but I'd like to know more about that. The other comment or question I had was, and congratulations on choosing Mr. Gent, and he will come on to work on the 2nd of July. My question then is, how soon will Mr. Karp and Mr. Sweet be leaving your employ? I understood that from the motion and what you all voted on May 16th, that it would be very shortly after. So what is very shortly? I know it was up to 2 months, but how much overlap? And I wish for the least amount of overlap. Mr. Gent is competent, and I think he can. He's been following along. I think we know that. And so I don't think there's a huge learning curve. And I, again, wish him well and wish them well, too.
Any other public comment? Seeing none, Mr. Karp, would you like to address
Sure,
the
I can address both of those
Gent?
Questions if that's your desire,
yes, I would
Madam
like
Chair.
To.
The comment about when the matter of the brine will come forward, Mr. Jones has solicited information from other agencies, and I have asked him to share that with our new lab person, who we're expecting to start on 9 July, if that comes to pass. And I would think that we could bring it back to you as a status and or action item within a month of the time she starts, excuse me, the person starts, if it's the one we believe it is. And I didn't want to bring that matter to the board for a decision without the expertise of the laboratory technician who is going to have to implement that. Mr. Jones has gathered information. We've discussed it internally. And at the point we have something to discuss, we would like to share that with you and then meet with Surfrider again and bring them up to speed.
Okay.
The matter of the discharge of the technical consultants, the minutes refer to a day or two after the start of the new district administrator, and certainly Rick and I are both ready to turn that over to him. I have been, and Rick have been, corresponding not on a back-and-forth basis, but we have been copying him on matters since his appointment, where I am discussing things internally with consultants or Rick Sweet or Amy or the plant superintendent. We're copying him on those things that we think he will find helpful in his jump-starting. I will share with you that either Rick or I or both of us, should you approve that, would be available for service should Jeremy ask for our help between now and the 27th of July. If we're not asked to work, we wouldn't have any billing after the 2nd, but that we're available.
Right.
And that's your determination or Mr. Gant's determination as to whether we work.
Right.
I have no recollection of the 2 to 3 days that is
it was
mentioned
in the,
in the
minutes. It was in the minutes, I think. Was it?
Yeah, yes, it was.
And it was.
And I don't recall that we made
discussing
that
it?
Kind of decision that it was going to be whatever worked out for Mr. Gant and the both of you.
Maybe I did a bad job on the minutes then.
Yeah, well, no.
But I do thank you for approving them the way we've written them. We can revise them if that's your choice.
Thank you, Mr. Karp. Where were we here? That was the consultants. We've done public comments, so we're good. So we'll go on to our next item. Are you ready to go over the back of the warrant yet?
Not completely.
Okay, so let's go on to our next 6B, cancellation of the July 4th, 2018 Board of Directors meeting.
Yes, Board Chair and Directors, we have a holiday coming up on July 4th. We did have an extra meeting last month, and we have been working with our vendors, and we were adding warrants up to today, I think. We added a couple in the thought that you might cancel the July 4th. And also, as follow-up with that, any of the bills that are coming in that are routine, like a PG&E bill or something like that, Amy's been corresponding with the vendors to tell them that we might have a canceled meeting and that we would look to be able to pay after the second meeting in July without incurring any late fees, and she's been corresponding with them. In past years, when we've had a Christmas holiday or something like that, they've always worked with us.
They probably,
but of course, it's your determination.
Okay. Well, is there any public comment on the cancellation of the July 4th meeting?
Julie Tacker, and it only occurs to me that perhaps your board would direct your staff to issue a press release that cancels the meeting and notifies the date of the next meeting, especially underscoring that it will now be in Grover Beach beginning in July. I just think that would be what's best for the public.
Any other comment? None. Can we get any discussion here?
I'm fully amenable to canceling the July 4th meeting, and I think it is a good idea because we're going to switch our meeting location to Grover Beach, so we do issue a statement to the press informing the public that the meeting will be moving to Grover Beach.
Make that a motion?
At the next meeting. So, yes, I will so move.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, Amy and I will work on sending out a press release to our media and let them know.
And then you will, and it'll be noticed on the website, and then about the new location coming up the next
I think
meeting.
We would also adjourn to that meeting in Grover Beach tonight at the end of our meeting. The date and the time, I think we would. Is that, Gil?
The next regular meeting would be July 18th. July 18th in Grover Beach.
That would be the adjournment motion tonight.
Okay. Got it. Okay, on to miscellaneous items, or do you want to do the warrants yet, Jim? No? Okay. Let's go on to miscellaneous items, and we do have one written communication letter.
Madam Chair, I think it's self-explanatory. It's the response to the district attorney as requested by this board at the last meeting, I believe.
Any public comment on the miscellaneous 7A1?
Julie Tacker again, and my only comment is to actually thank Director White for allowing this item to come forward, come to fruition. It had been requested several times by Mr. Hill and Ms. Austin and Ms. Nichols at those times didn't want to do that. So when Ms. White was here, you had a board majority, and then it was a unanimous decision to send the letter, and the letter is sufficient. So that's it.
Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none. Ready to go back to the warrants, Jim?
Yes.
Okay, so we will go back to item 5A, approval of warrants. Mr. Hill, do you have any comments on you were wanting to see the invoices for Mr. Karp and Mr. Sweet, and you didn't see the legal, just the Mr. Karp and Sweet?
I did see the all of the invoices.
Okay.
And while I do have some concerns regarding the meeting that was held out of the jurisdiction, most of the others appear reasonable. I do have an additional question looking at these about the solids handling facility, which amounts to basically a 20 by 20 concrete slab with a curb around it. And I note that there's like $5,000 and some dollars for engineering as well as the cost of the project, and that just seems extraordinary to me for what certainly appears to be a very simple project.
Okay.
But in the interest of time, though, no, I'll.
Do you want to make them ready to move that we approve the warrants? Or did you want?
I note that the legal billing is for 2 months, but that is still, in my judgment, a bit high, although there are some issues on there that I fully understand.
Okay. Okay, can I get a motion then to let's have public comment first on the approval of the warrants. I already did. Okay, good.
Okay.
Then we'll have a motion to approve
the warrants as submitted in the with the correction.
With the revised.
Yes.
Okay. So we have a motion to approve the warrants as revised. Do I have a second? Do you have a question?
No, I don't have a question.
Oh, okay. I'll second the warrant register. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Chair Austin?
Yes.
Approved unanimously.
Okay, thank you. All righty. Board member communications. Anything? Do you have anything?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Board, do you have anything?
I would request, however, that the board put on the agenda to consider the Wallace matter. Some of our commenters have requested that, and I would also request that that be put on a future near-term agenda.
Did you have any comments, Barbara?
No.
Okay. Closed session. Can we get a report?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The board will recess to a closed session for two items. The first is performance evaluation, title district council. The second is conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I, any public comment on closed session?
Last time, Julie Tacker, and I would like to speak to actually both items. First of all, with regard to the performance evaluation of your district legal counsel, I just want to make a note as to a discussion that was just had up here that concerns me. The actual motion on May 16th, and your legal counsel, Mr. Collins, was there at the time, the actual motion made by Mayor Hill was the consultant's term to expire within a day or two after the new district administrator begins service. So you can't change those minutes now. That was the motion. Ms. Austin seconded it, and all three of you approved it. That was the motion. And unless you want to bring it back in front of the public, you're not going to change that. And I think your legal counsel would agree with me. With regard to some of the other performance matters, this is the performance evaluation. I just see responsibility I laid in the lap of your interim administrators with regard to their own contract. But several other contracts I have seen either expire and the consultants continue to work, or they've gone over the amount of money that's been allowed. And this falls in the lap of your district legal counsel. So Shannon Sweeney getting extra funds over her contract. Faye Russo's contract blew out of the water how much money she was paid, and certainly not for very quality work. And then for this very sweet and CARP contract to expire and not be fully executed for another couple of weeks. That is the responsibility of your legal counsel, to see that every I is dotted and every T is crossed. When Mr. Trujillo brought Mr. Collins to you, he to hire, when you agreed to hire that firm, you also agreed that you were going to go out for RFP. And I think Mr. Trujillo should compete for his position. I don't know Mr. Collins well enough yet to have too much judgment. With regard to the conference with legal counsel and anticipated litigation, because I don't know what it is, I can only say, in my mind, the anticipated litigation should be you initiating litigation against Mr. Wallace, and you need to get someone from the district attorney's office in closed session with you to explain the matter so that you can make a decision fully informed about whether or not you want to pursue civil action. And I think the ratepayers' money that has been lost needs to be recovered, and you need to be the ones to do it.
Any other public comment?
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon, and let's not waste any more money on Mr. Wallace.
Okay. That's the last of the public comment. We will adjourn.
Oh. I would tend to reverberate the comments of Julie Tacker, and it is your district council's responsibility to keep you out of trouble, and that's pretty much what I said about what happened with Mr. Wallace. District council did not keep us out of trouble.
Okay, any other public comment? Seeing none, we will adjourn to closed session.